Amen. Please open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 16. We continue the series of sermons through the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16, and we will start reading at verse 1. Let us stand as the Lord speaks to us from His Word. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to Abram as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." And Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers." And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "Thou art a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" And therefore the well was called Beer Lahoiroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. And so far our scripture reading, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes we looked at our fathers in the faith, in the Bible, and you can't help but just shaking your head and wonder, how is it they could do the things that they did? And here in our account, we have Abram, who have heard God's word, his promise of an uncountable number of descendants coming from his body. You would remember he saw that unforgettable image of the burning flame walking between these carcasses, God promising to Abram that I surely will give you all these descendants in this land, otherwise this will be done to me. You would remember how God took Abram outside of his tent and pointed to the sky on a clear night, and he looked at all the stars and he said, this is how many descendants you would have. We saw in chapter 15 that Abram believed God, and it is said there that it was counted to him as righteousness. We probably think, how could any man still doubt if God does these things, show him these signs, speak so many promises to him? We would expect Abram to stand rock solid, strong from any form of doubt about these promises. How could he still have any doubts? How could he doubt that he will have all these descendants and this land will be his? Yet we read this chapter and we see he utterly failed. We're dealing with the first marital triangle in biblical history. The Abram and the two women in his life fell in distrust, anger, and brutal malice. And so this should be a serious warning to each and every one of us. Never think that you are strong and you can stand against any temptation. Always be ready, for Satan is not lazy. He's also crafty. And whenever you think you're strong, you can stand against whatever it is, he will come with you, after you, stronger than ever before. Paul tells us also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12, he says, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. We have noticed before that often in our lives, and also, as I mentioned before, in the lives of many biblical characters, that we are very often tested in our faith. Our faith is very regularly put to test. And often these tests come, we see in the Bible and also in our own lives, these tests often come after a spiritual high. We have something that is wonderful that in our life. We had a wonderful worship service, or we have a renewal in our spiritual life, and then the next thing you see, there's a test. Abram believed God under that beautiful, dark sky night, and then the next test comes. This all started with an unhappy wife. Look at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. She was very correct. Sarah was correct by saying that the Lord prevented her from having children. She understood that God is a sovereign God. Yet that pain in being childless was growing to become too much. This struggle could be very hard to anyone. Elsie and I had that experience for many years, and we understand that pain. And if you went through it, you you would know the pain involved in it. But even in that day of Sarai, it was even more so because barren women were being looked down upon. There must be something wrong with them. Verse 16 says here that Abram was now 86 years old, and so Sarai must have been about 76 at this stage. They were past their childbearing years. God's promise to Abram was just fading in the past. People probably looked at Sarai as she was walking around in public, and she was wondering, what are they thinking of me? So Sarai came up with a plan. God promised a child to Abram, she thought, but that child was not necessarily through me. And Sarah intensely was longing for that promised child. Now, in that time, in that culture, it was in society very acceptable to use a sexual surrogate. Sarai suggested that this maid, this Egyptian maid that they had, Hagar, that she would be used, and then you would see in their wording here that that child will be Sarai's child. This was an acceptable custom. But it was still a sin. Although it was acceptable, it was still a sin. Sarai wanted to get her child by Hagar. And we see that Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Abram caved in. He bowed the knee before Sarai's suggestion. And you wonder, what happened to this brave general who took his 318 men and overpowered the coalition forces and rescued all those hostages? What happened to this brave warrior that trusted God and went after that mighty army with 318 men? Now let us realize, Abram was not the first brave man that melted before an unhappy wife. In order to have peace in the house, many men caved before the wife. And instead of leading them to do what is right, they do as the wife suggests, simply to have peace in the house and to stop all these accusations against him in the house. There are many wives that need to repent for leading their husbands by putting some kind of pressure upon them, manipulating them with things in the house, putting that pressure to follow them and not glorify God. And many husbands need to repent of caving, like Abram did here, caving and allowing their wives to push them in a certain direction which they know is not right. In verse 2, we see Abram listened to his wife. Now, we've heard this before, didn't we? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, look there at verse 17. This is God speaking here. He says, and he says, then to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil shall, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife. And so as we see these words here in Genesis chapter 16, it's an indication when you see Abram listened to, he heeded the voice of his wife, this is not going to end well. Abram should have stood up against his wife, leading him into sin. But at that moment, he most likely had more fear of his wife than fear of God. Like Abram, the fear of man, or in many cases the fear of woman, has caused men to sin, for they feared their wives more than God. And of course, this is just as true of women, being more fearful of their husbands than being fearful of God. Abram was the covenantal head of that household, but he did not lead. He was following his wife. And so, fathers and husbands, remember, just like Abram's house, our families need leaders. Leaders who would put the emphasis more on the obedience of God and glorifying of God than short-term peace in their relationships. What was the problem here with Sarai's plan? Well, first, in trying to help God, she was acting against God's word. She wanted to help God out. She was taking matters into her own hands, and she tried to help God. The second problem is polygamy is and would always be sin. It may have been acceptable in the eyes of the community of that time, but God gave marriage to one man and one woman. Polygamy was and always will be wrong. That's the second thing. The third problem with her plan is Hagar was not even consulted in this. She was the property of Sarai, which she purchased with her tour through Egypt. So Hagar was simply used, and she was not asked. She didn't agree to this. It was just decided this is how it will work. Now, Abram must have seen these problems with the idea, yet he was too much of a wimp to stand up against his wife. What happened here is that they were seeking godly ends, but they didn't use godly ways. Our world would say, well, this is a good idea. Just good can come from it, right? We need to have children. Well, no. When we seek godly ends, it is just as important to use godly means. Oh, we see that a lot in the church, don't we? A man that has the great godly desire to have a wife and to get married, but instead of finding and waiting upon the Lord to find a godly woman as God commands in His Word, he takes an ungodly wife, and he wants to accomplish something godly but with ungodly means. Or the man who sees his family struggle financially and is looking for a better job to provide better for his family. That's a good thing, isn't it? But then he takes a job at where he needs to relocate to a place where there's no true church. He wants to provide, but he uses ungodly means. My brother and sister, whenever we take shortcuts to do godly things, we will encounter problems. Shortcuts of sin lead to dead ends. It leads to painful ends. Well, we saw Abram listen to Sarai just like Adam listened to Eve. But also what we see here, just as Eve gave some fruit to Adam, Sarah gave Hagar to Abram, her husband. Look there at verse 3. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. She was not given to him by her father, as the custom was, but she was given, or actually we see here, Sarai took her and gave her. Hagar had no say in this. She now became a commodity. Hagar had to serve as a baby machine. This is so horrific. And very quickly, almost immediately, you see that this arrangement became sour. And as we will see later, it ends up in a dead end. We as sinful human beings sometimes do not learn easy, do we? Abram gave Sarai away in Egypt, you would remember. You would remember what a chaos that was. What a painful lesson that was. It ended up in fiasco. Now, Sarai is the one that gave her husband away. We see no objection from Abram. He did it as his unhappy wife required. Without knowing the end of the story, we know another fiasco was coming. Look at Sarai's reaction here in verse 5. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." Sarai placed the blame on Abram while this was her plan. This was her idea. Yet she blames her husband. This solution was to make her more happy. It was about her unhappiness. But ultimately, we need to recognize she was correct in that Abram was the head of the household. The buck stops with him. He should have never allowed this. My brother and sister, these shortcuts never work out. They never work out well. Do you sometimes want to take a shortcut to accomplish something good? Maybe you're using questionable means to accomplish something well. A student may want good grades on the exam. It's good, right? Then he cheats to get those grades. Or at work, or in your business, you use unethical ways to do something good. Let us learn here and repent of using ungodly means for a good and a godly goal. When we do it in relationships, it never ends well. You may think that you will ease your unhappy spouse now, but when you take that shortcut, much more unhappiness and heartache will follow. Sarai was hurting. Now, Abram should have stood up and he should have been the man in the house. But he was too much of a wimp. His response is to do with Hagar as she pleases. Just as you please, my wife, do with her. She's your maid. How could he say this? Verse 3 tells us she was now his wife. She was given to him as his wife. How could he do that? Well, one commentator, Kent Hughes, says, it seems like Abram was hiding behind the code of Hammurabi's law, number 146, and this is serious. Let me read this to you. Now, the code of Hammurabi was one of the earliest legal codes written by the king of Babylon around 1750 before Christ. And law number 146 says that if a concubine claims equality with her mistress because she had a child, her mistress may demote her to her former status. It seems Abram at this point used that law to justify what he was doing with that woman that was given to him as his wife. What he should have done is he should have stood up and assured his wife of his love for her, repented of his previous sins of not standing up against her, repenting of having this relationship with this another woman, and he should have also stood up for Hagar and protect Hagar. But as we know, he did not. And verse 6 tells us that Sarai dealt with her harshly. She dealt with her in hatred. In Hebrew, the term that is used there is the very same terms that is used when Egypt's harsh treatment of Israel while they were slaves is described. The same terms. We get the idea that not one of these three people acted honorably. Abram was passive. He was weak. Sarai had no compassion on Hagar, and Hagar had no better behavior toward Sarai. This became a big old mess. Now remember how this started. This started when people didn't trust God on His word. God made promises, but they didn't trust Him. They distrusted God and wanted to help God out. And to help God out, they took some shortcuts to get what God had promised them, a baby boy. You see, the consequences of these sins could not be taken back. The result of these sins could not be removed. Yet Sarai and Abram tried to remove it. They tried to fix this sin by committing more sin. They tried to get rid of the problem. Let us just send Hagar away. Let us just get rid of her. We have seen it so many times in our lives, didn't we? I've seen it so many times in the counseling room. People take a shortcut, they refuse to repent, and then they try to fix the sin with more sin. God would, and He could, extend grace for these sins when there is repentance. But the consequences, the results of those sins, are often with us forever. That hurt will always be there. Be careful, my brother and sister, to reach godly goals with godly means. Use godly means. We see this became too hard for Hagar, and she left, seemingly in the middle of the night. She left. She was used. She was now pregnant. And it seems that the journey that she was taking was leading her back to Egypt. This was a very hard journey, even for a young man. And here was a slave woman alone and pregnant. She had a very low chance of survival. We see here in verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. We first saw the chaos caused by human sin and unbelief. And now we see how God intervenes even in this well-deserved chaos. This is the first time in the Bible that we read about the angel of the Lord. Many commentators agree that the angel of the Lord here was God Himself. You know, Jesus would later be incarnated as a man, and here most likely Jesus appears to Hagar. We see in verse 13, Hagar addresses the angel as God. And in chapter 18, it helps us to understand that this angel is revealed there as the Lord Himself. And so here, Hagar met the Lord God as a deliverer, the God that delivers. Jesus came out to the wilderness to seek out the lost. Verse 8 we see, and He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. The angel calls her by her name, Hagar, Sarai's maid. He knew her name. And very gently, he is approaching here a distressed soul. He knew where she came from. He knew where she was going. This reminds us so much of Jesus at the well speaking to the Samaritan woman. Do you remember gently asking her, go get your husband? Now, Jesus knew she was married 5 times before, and the man that she had now, she was just living with. But He said, go get your husband. Why did Jesus do this? You see, this is a model for us. Also what we see here, a model of evangelism. Very gently, Jesus wanted to convict the woman of her need for salvation. So He's asking her to call her husband. This is also what the angel is doing here with Hagar. Where do you come from? Where do you come from, Hagar? And His response, go back to Sarai. Go back. Hagar could not change. She could not be saved until she stops running. So the angel tells her, go back. This was, again, Jesus' approach also with that Samaritan woman. I think we see a model of evangelism here. First, the angel asked the question to make Hagar realize her own wrong, her own sin of running away in the middle of the night. He wanted to convict her of her own wrongs, her own sins. It was her own sin that put her in this danger. It was her own sin that put her on this road to Egypt. Keep running is not the answer. Repent, Hagar, and return to your duties. Look at verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Not only is Hagar called to return, to repent of her ways, but she is promised great blessings upon her return. God always blesses obedience. A great number of descendants are promised. Her son is given a name, Ishmael. Ishmael means God has heard. Even when she gets frustrated with that little two-year-old not listening to her mother, she will be reminded, God has heard. God interceded in my need. Hagar did return, but she and Sarai never got along. What is more, historically, the offspring of Ishmael became the enemies of the people of God, just as the angel says here would happen. Still today, they claim Abram as their father, yet they completely departed from the faith of Abram. This shortcut that Abram and Sarai picked was the beginning of centuries of conflict between God's people and the descendants of Ishmael. Today, a great number of Muslims in the Middle East are descendants of Ishmael. The angel wanted to convict Hagar with that question, and then he sent her back to serving Sarai. But pay attention to the response of this young woman. Look at verse 12. And he will be a wild donkey and of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. Do you remember east? The motive of east right through the book of Genesis. I referred to it now several times. Whenever people go east, it's always in rebellion against God. Here again, he will live east of his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, Thou art a God who sees. For she said, Have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Hagar rejoiced. Not specifically about the child that she would have, but she rejoiced in the Lord. She says, God is a seeing God. She named the well of the living one who sees me. She's professing this God who appeared to her as a living God, who is omniscient. He is a living God who sees everything. He's a God who knows everything. In other words, Hagar responded in faith. She believed God, she repented, and so she returned to Sarai. My brother and sister, whenever we take shortcuts, when we follow our own way, even when we have good intentions, things become messy. Life becomes messy when we do not follow God's word in not only the goals, but also not in the means that we use. Have you taken a shortcut that led to a mess in your life? Are you planning on using shortcuts in the future? Are you in the midst of planning some shortcuts? Are you planning to take matters in your own hands instead of following God's ways? Turn and go back, Hagar. Follow God's ways. Use God's means. Psalm 37, verse 34 tells us, wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. Wait upon the Lord. Hagar acted upon God's word and she returned. We see that a boy was born. And the last few verses emphasizes that this child was born to Abram. Remember what Sarai said? Have a child with Hagar and it will be my child? No, this child is born to Abram, not Sarai. Sarai did not name this child, but Abram did. And we will read as we go through this book much more about Ishmael later on. He grew up to live in the desert. He was an expert with the bow, and he later then married an Egyptian. My brother and sister, even though Christ comes with grace and forgiveness to our sins of compromises and shortcuts, the results of those sins are always tragic. Christ ministers grace to repentant sinners. Yes, he will show grace, He will show forgiveness when we repent of those sins, but the effects of those sins hardly ever can be undone. David was forgiven his sin with Bathsheba. But you would remember how that little precious baby died because of a consequence of that sin. So let me ask you again, do you like to take shortcuts? Are you planning to take any shortcuts in your life? Is that what you do at work, in your relationships? Are you planning on bypassing God's way for your own easier way in your business or in the school course you're taking? Take a time out. Step back and pray. Read from the Bible. What does the Bible say how you should act? Rather, do it God's way. It may take longer. It may take more effort and pain, but God's way is always the right and the good way. Rest in Him. Trust God, not only to pursue His end, but also the means that He tells us to use to get there. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for this passage for our teaching. We thank You, Lord, that we do not only learn from the right things people have done in Scripture, but also from their sins. And so we pray, Lord, that You will give us wisdom, that You will give us boldness and courage to do what You commanded us to do in the way You commanded it. We pray for husbands, fathers, leaders of households, Lord, to stand strong on Your word. We pray, Lord, that we will love our Lord, that we will love You more than our wives, that we will be more fearful of You than people around us. We pray that You will mold us into godly leaders. Forgive us of our weaknesses. Forgive us, Lord, for caving before other people, before the pressure of society and not following Your way. It is in Jesus' holy name that we pray these things. Amen.